Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. On yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing a message entitled, Only Believe, and Thou Shalt See the Glory of God. And we're looking at a very familiar passage in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, and it's John's account of what occurred when Lazarus, a very good friend of Jesus, who was brother to Mary and Martha, became sick. And the sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick, urging him to come and heal him. And the Lord says, this is for the glory of God, that he's sleeping, but that this will bring glory to the Son of God. And I was just started reading those opening verses, and let me pick up just where we left off yesterday, verse 11, in chapter 11 of John. And the word says, these things said he, this is referring to Jesus, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep. I want to pause for a moment. The New Testament refers to the death of the believer, God's saints, as the death he speaks of as sleep. And of course, his disciples took him literally, and in verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep, natural sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, in verse 16, Thomas makes a comment because his disciples commented when he said, you know, let's go to him. He delayed, first of all, 2 days, actually. The scriptures say he abode in the same place. After that, he said, now let's go into Judea again. And some of his disciples, they don't say exactly who, said, Master, when you were there last time, the Jews wanted to stone you. Now you want to go back there? And so in verse 16, to clarify Thomas's comment, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. All right, I just want to pause for a moment in the reading of these passages let's just look at what's happened. Jesus gets the news that Lazarus is sick, and he doesn't respond. In verse 6, basically, what does he say? He just, when he heard that he was sick, he didn't do anything. He just stayed there. And this appears on the surface like apparent hard-heartedness of Jesus by his inaction. I mean, here he was, the great miracle worker that healed all who came to him, those who were oppressed of devils he delivered, raised the dead. He did all these things, and here one of his very, very best friends is sick and he doesn't do anything. And that's beyond natural reasoning and human comprehension. And beloved, have you ever been in a place like that? Or perhaps you might be in that place right now. What do you do? How do you feel when the heavens seem as brass and there's no answers to your prayers? But do you realize that by refusing, Jesus gave far above what they had asked? Now, we have the benefit of the scriptures. We know the rest of the story, don't we? But imagine, think about, at that time, here were some of his very best friends. They were in a crisis, and he doesn't do a thing. Jesus does not do a single thing, but he stays where he is. And then, because of the Father revealed to him, Lazarus was dead. And of course, he understood in advance what the Father wanted him to do. And like he said, I'm glad that I didn't go. He could have just gone and laid his hands or spoke the word to Lazarus, however the Father directed him, because the Lord healed him many different ways. Many times he just said, you know, go show yourselves to the priests, the lepers, and as they went, they were healed. So Jesus had many ways of responding. He was always sensitive to what the Father directed. But here we have unanswered prayer. Now, let me take some time, and we're going to read verses, I'll start at verse 16. Well, no, actually, I shared that. So let me start at verse 18. We find that, of course, Lazarus was dead 4 days. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Obviously, there's a lot of sorrow there, and perhaps a lot of disappointment, like, Lord, why didn't you come? Have you ever felt that way? It's like, God, how could you let this happen? Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, she voices what was going on in their hearts. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, they knew enough about Jesus and his ministry. They were confident that if he'd only responded, this tragedy wouldn't have happened. But then she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Praise God. All right, I'm going to stop reading here, and we're going to take a look at what's happening. So we see, you know, unanswered prayer. Jesus doesn't come to their natural request, this crisis at that point in time. And beloved, we see now several things going on. First of all, there's disappointment. Beloved, how do you feel? Maybe where you're at presently right now, you've been praying and praying and God has not answered prayer. Or there may be situations that have happened in your past. You believed God. You just did everything you knew to do. You searched your heart. You confessed the scripture. And you cried out to God, and yet nothing, you didn't get the answer. And there's tremendous disappointment. Beloved, what do we do? You see, at times like that, the enemy really wants to take advantage of your disappointment and your sorrow and sadness and say, see, if God really loved you, he would have answered prayer. You know, well, just because there's sin in your life, he jumps on that opportunity to destroy. What's his ultimate purpose? To destroy or to shake or to weaken your relationship with God, to make you question. Oh, maybe intellectually you don't, but emotionally you feel abandoned, you feel betrayed. Oh, I know, I'm describing someone who's listening right now. You feel that way as, God, how could you let this happen? And we see that Jesus, although Martha was just sharing her heart, he was encouraging her to believe. Not only was there a great disappointment, beloved, this was a tragedy. Now, in our present world, the way our lives are today, we may not relate to the greatness of the tragedy. First of all, they lost a loved one, a brother. Now, we can certainly relate to losing a loved one, whether it's a spouse, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, someone close. We can relate to the pain of that loss. But in this situation, it was something even further. We don't know a lot about the details of their lives, but apparently there were two sisters and a brother living together. It doesn't talk about any other person present in that household. And beloved, in that day, a male losing the presence of a male in the household was a very serious thing. Women did not have the status that they have today. I mean, they weren't out, you know, they weren't career women as many women are today, making, bringing in their own income. No, the livelihood was brought in by a male figure, whether it was a brother or a husband, or even in the case of Jesus. My goodness, he was the, quote, eldest son as far as the community was concerned. And we don't know when Joseph died, but he was there bringing an income as a carpenter for that household. And the very touching scene we see when Jesus in his terrible suffering on the cross, and John and his mother stood at the foot of the cross, he said, "Son, behold thy mother." And so he was giving the care of his mother into John's safekeeping. And it says from that time on, Jesus' mother, Mary, stayed with John. And so this was not only disappointing, it was a great tragedy because Lazarus, I don't know the details, but this was a big thing in that day. And in verse 22, we see that Martha does have hope. That's hope speaking. She says, "Lord, I know whatever you ask, God will still grant, even now." And she has faith in Jesus' power and his compassion. She believed God would answer his prayer. She knew that. But there was something further that Jesus wanted to demonstrate. He wanted to demonstrate that by his word, he could work anything. It wasn't just the Father's power working through him, that he wanted to demonstrate who he was, that not the Son of Man, the Son of God. And as we looked at verse 26, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Beloved, what a wonderful promise we have in the new covenant. We have the physical resurrection of the body. Martha understood that. And that he, you know, he will rise again at the last day. And spiritual, our soul, when we have a relationship with Jesus, our soul will experience blessed immortality. And that spiritual life will be perfected in eternity. Praise God. Well, my time has flown by again, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to share your prayer needs in us. We'll give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me today. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,